Before I start reading there, I'd like to read you an article that I read here in this magazine. It's Christianity Today. I don't know if any of you heard of it. It says, a recent document entitled Evangelicals and Catholics Together gives a resounding yes to this question. The document was signed by a number of able Catholic scholars and administrators representing the new faith of post-Vatican II Roman Catholicism, and by a number of evangelical leaders whose commitment to evangelism no one should question. A document on this topic should have been prepared and signed by all evangelicals 3 decades ago. Unfortunately, the present document could be interpreted as jeopardizing the biblical gospel. No doubt most evangelicals who signed the document were motivated by their conviction that cooperating with Roman Catholics would bring immense good to our nation. Evangelicals and Catholics share values crucial to the well-being of society. Traditional Roman Catholics share our zeal against abortion on demand, pornography, special legal status for practicing homosexuals, euthanasia, and relativistic ethics. Not to mention a dedication to honesty, fairness, sexual purity, and the integrity of the family. Most American Catholics share with evangelicals a deep commitment to human freedoms, including religious freedom. With the spread of moral rot that destroys the roots of a free and just society, we evangelicals need to close rank with our Catholic neighbors and with Mormons, conservative Jews, and seculars who share our values. We must do this for our own good and the good of society as a whole. Christianity Today, that's what it is right there. This reflects a lot of what I've thought of, been thinking of in San Luis for the past few months, and that is on Christians and the way they compromise, the way they don't know about the Scriptures. They have very little conviction about what they really believe. They have very little conviction about what the stand they should take with Roman Catholics, with seculars, with Jews, with Mormons, with Jehovah's Witnesses, with Muslims. Very little conviction, very little knowledge. And I see, as in this article, very little wisdom. Saying that we need to unite with them to conserve society. I'd like to read you, I want to read some scriptures tonight speaking on knowledge. I see it as it's a virtue that the Bible speaks of that Christianity has tried to obliviate, tried to forget, tried to put in the back burner and not think about it. Christians are real big on words like the Holy Ghost. They love that. Especially Pentecostals, the Holy Spirit. They're real big on words like unity and love and faith. And yet, what the Bible calls knowledge seems to be forgotten. It seems to be carnal to actually know something nowadays. But yet we see that's not true in the secular sense. America is so well educated, it's amazing. You come up here and you hear kids talking about things adults don't know in Mexico. You got universities and you got all kinds of colleges and they're advertising on TV trying to get people to know more and enroll themselves in MTI or whatever it is, and ITT Tech, and a lot of knowledge. Yet when it comes to Christianity, Christians just seem to think that God chose dumb people. And that God chose the foolish. That is true. God chose the weak, but God did not choose to be the father of dumb Christians. Christians that choose to remain in ignorance. And yet Christians believe that. Christians actually, they don't say it, they actually think that it's unspiritual to know something. That it's spiritual to just say, oh, I'm just living by faith. I don't know these things. I don't really care to know them, but I have faith, and that's living by faith. I don't believe that's living by faith. I believe God wants Christians to have knowledge. And not only believe it, I know it. It comes in, let's read it, 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved. Oh, all the Christians jump up. They love that. Yes, yeah. And it's true. God would have all men to be saved. But they stop. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Christians nowadays, like in this article, want to separate knowledge from salvation. They want to say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter who you call God. I've heard Christians say, well, you go pray to your God and see if he tells you to read the Bible. Go pray to some voodoo God. See if he'll tell you to read the Bible. They want to separate salvation from knowledge. The Bible says Christ came that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know why it is that Christians do that. I really don't. We get people coming downtown all the time in San Luis Potosí rebuking us because we question people on their faith. They come up and say, we're saved, and they're amazed that we don't fall down at their feet. Oh, brother! Come preach with us. Come to our meetings, yes. We believe you. If I believed everybody that said they are saved, there's no reason to preach. I would come back and tell you, Mexico is won! We've won it all. Everyone's saved. I have met nobody that will tell me I'm not saved. They all say they're saved. They all say that. Yet we see they have no knowledge of truth. They don't know what salvation is. You ever thought of that? That people that say they're saved don't know what salvation is? People that Catholics say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't know who Jesus Christ is. Like saying, I know what a rock is, or I believe in a rock, but I don't know what a rock is. I believe in Jesus, but I don't know who Jesus is. How can you believe in what you do not know? That's the lost. That's the Catholics, that's the Mormons, that's the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe in what they do not know. The Bible testifies of that. Yet I find it so with Christians. And that's where it pricks my heart, that Christians believe things they do not know. I would rather believe less and believe what I know than to believe everything that I hear that sounds reasonable. And see, that's how most people, Christians included, judge what they're going to believe and what they're not going to believe, if it sounds reasonable. That's why so many people get sucked into Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know if you know it, but Mexico is being won over by Jehovah's Witnesses. They're everywhere. I live there in my street, and I've had them come by that I know of that they knocked on my door about 6 or 7 times. And after about 6 or 7 times, all of them finally knew me, and they would start jumping over my house. I finally figured out why they weren't coming by my house anymore. It's because they'd all said, look, don't go to that house no more. So I would wait for them when I knew about what time to come. So I'd sit there and I'd wait for them when they came by, and I'd be out there standing waiting for them, and they'd walk on by, hey, excuse me, I'd like to talk. And they just sort of, you're trying to, what are you doing? Why do you want to debate with them? Why do you want to contend? We'll get to that in a minute. But you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're taking over Mexico. And the reason is because their doctrine is so reasonable, so logical, it seems like. They win people by logic. They come up there saying, well, does it sound reasonable to you? That's their big argument. Does it sound reasonable to you that Jesus is Son and Father? Does it sound reasonable that I can be my own father? And so they win people by logic and by reason. And I see that's the way it is in Christianity nowadays. Christians nowadays judge what their pastors say, what the word is preached, by whether it's reasonable or not. Instead of doing like Luke said in Acts, that these were more noble than those because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. God called us Christians to be knowledgeable, to know the scriptures. What is it he said in Matthew 5:22? Ye do err not knowing the scriptures. He said you do not. He didn't say you err in not believing enough. You err in not having enough beliefs and enough faith and enough charity. He said you do err not knowing the scriptures. So I ask you, Christian, nowadays, do you know the scriptures? I'm not asking, can you quote me the whole book of John? We got there's a man down in San Luis right now. His name is Jeff. He went down with my grandparents back in July. This month, he went down to help with the youth groups that would go down with my grandfather. About 37, he can quote Psalms 119, the whole thing. He can quote Colossians and Philippians. He can quote right around 600 verses. But what good does it do how much you can quote if you don't know the doctrine? I'm not talking about being able to recite the creed. That's what all Christians can do. I believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I believe in this, and I believe in that. Do you really believe it? Do you know it? And that's what I ask Christians nowadays. I've preached this in our church in San Luis, and also another church that invited me to preach in the young people's meeting. And it's that Christians do not know what they believe, and that is, in itself, frightening. When Christians nowadays don't even know what they'll believe, people like the Jehovah's Witnesses, that do know what they believe, will take over. I don't know how the Muslims are. But I do know about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They can prove with their proofs what they believe. Talk to them. And that goes into a whole other thing. I remember my dad saying that in his church, they would tell him, don't talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll confuse you. Well, let me tell you something. If the Jehovah's Witnesses can confuse you, your faith is weak. Your beliefs are weak. Maybe you should be a Jehovah's Witness. If a Jehovah's Witness can come to your door and knock on it, and with just standing at your doorstep, speak to you on your own terms, and confuse you, something's wrong. Christians ought to be winning, not losing.
Amen.
Since when does light scared of darkness? Since when do you go into your room and you turn on the light and you go, no! No, it says the light wins over darkness. And we, if we really have the light, we don't have nothing to fear from other doctrines. We don't have to fear about what the Jehovah's Witness have to say if we have the truth. If we know the truth. It says here that Christ came to bring us to the knowledge of the truth. Two things. If that is so, He came to save all men, and we preach that all men might be saved. Why don't we preach that all men might know the truth? They might know the truth. Look in 1 Samuel 2:3. I was telling you, we get all those people going down there, and we question them, are you saved? Oh yes, I'm saved. Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Baptists, almost every kind of, we have Harry Christians down there every once in a while. We've had them down before. And you question them, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Oh really? Why? Oh, I was in that meeting and I just started shaking and, oh, I could just feel the Holy Ghost. Oh really? Well, you know something, speaking tongues? Oh yes, brother. Did it too. Oh really? Well, the ones killing the Christians in China spoke in tongues. They felt. Right. They shook. That mean that they're good too? Well, and they, why are you saved? Why are you saved? If someone comes up and asks you, why are you saved? Are you going to tell them some hocus pocus thing that you had an altar call and you went down and you were crying, it was so beautiful, and you just fell low? I don't believe that's the way that we should witness to people. I don't believe that that should be our testimony. I believe when people say, are you saved? We say, yes, because it says. When Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, the devil comes up and he starts tempting. He says, oh, but devil, you don't know. I was a shaking in the church the other day. And I felt it. Oh, it was there. No, he says, it is written. It is written. Told him what he knew. You don't think so? Hold your place in Samuel. Let's look in John. Look in John. We're going to go back to Samuel. I just want to show you something. You say, oh, I've had people say, oh, but you guys are just so carnal getting into just knowing. We got to get into the Spirit, brother. Well, we'll go back to showing that the Spirit is truth and God is the Lord is a God of knowledge. Here's something Jesus said. See if I can find it here. It's in John 3, verily, 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know.
Amen.
I find Christians don't do that. They speak of things they don't know. I hear them witnessing. And they get into who knows where. I hear our guys downtown, they'll be talking to somebody debating. And pretty soon, I have no idea what they're talking about. They're in there talking about, well, but if the United States takes another state from Mexico, well, we're going to... What do you know about politics? They start talking about thermodynamics. This is a guy that's failed 3 times. Can't even pass the simplest course in thermodynamics in the University of San Luis. And he's down there, oh, yeah, but what do you know? Jesus said we speak that what we know. I ask you, do you speak what you know, or do you speak of what you had no earthly idea? In 1 Samuel 2:3 it says, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. You know, I'm accused very, very, very often in Mexico, because that's where I live, and that's where they know me and they're around me. You guys see my good side, which is pretty bad, huh? But they see my bad side, which is very arrogant. I'm accused almost daily downtown of being very arrogant and very proud, and I guess my answers don't help. I say, yeah, that is true, I'm proud, but I'm still right, and I still have the truth, and you should still listen to me. And that kind of rubs them the wrong way. But I was accused of being arrogant by a youth leader that came down with one of the groups that comes down from Houston. And he asked me, have you studied church history? Of course, he's a seminary student. Have you studied church history? I said, oh yes, Acts through Revelation. I've studied it all. He says, well, where I come from, that's arrogance. Oh, where I'm going, that's right. And it is. I don't study Matthew Henry. I could really don't care what Matthew Henry has to say. When I've studied the Bible and I know the Bible well, I'll study Matthew Henry. And like he said, where I come from, that's arrogance. Well, could be, but maybe that's why he's a nitwit. He says, talk no more exceedingly proudly or being arrogant. Well, how is it arrogant? He says, God, the Lord, is a God of knowledge. You know what I consider, you know what I think arrogance is? Somebody standing up saying, I believe this. And they have no basis whatsoever on why they believe it. That means they are the authority. When you say, this is so, because I say so, then you're the authority. But when I stand up and say, the Word of God says, I know this is true because here it is written, that's not arrogance, that's truth. But Christians have trouble with that. They don't like that. Let's look in John 9. They always revert to this. Christians love to revert to this in John 9. After speaking to a whole lot of people about this same subject, I've heard a lot of verses that they try to contradict that Christians needing to know more. And one of them is this in John 9:25. Blind man, you all know the story. Jesus heals a blind man. The Pharisees come up and question him. He says, and he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. See, oh, what faith! Yeah, what faith. Oh, what love, whatever you want to call it. He says, one thing I know, and now Christians have that syndrome, the blind man syndrome, walk around, one thing I know. I think that's pathetic. If that man lived his whole life after being healed by Jesus Christ and did not bother to learn more about the Savior, like the Scriptures command, that is pathetic. Once you, when you're just saved, and for you to say one thing I know, and that you're saved, that's good. But 10 years down the line, 1 year down the line, if all you're saying is one thing I know, that is you're condemning your own self. You're just testifying that you're lazy. Amen. You should know more than just one thing by now. Maybe two. If you're dense, maybe just two. But at least don't walk around saying, one thing I know. I won't number to you the things I know. I wouldn't humiliate myself that way. But I can say I do know more than just one thing. I will tell you that. I don't know how much more, but I do know more than I'm just saved. I know that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'll stop right there. That was a good response. 2 Peter 1:3. Let's look at that. It amazed me. I started studying this out. Knowledge. Knowing. Started studying out. And I start seeing that knowledge comes in the same verses as all these words that Christians just thrive on. Like the Holy Ghost and the charity and the ones I've mentioned. Just they thrive on those words, yet knowledge comes in and you see that they supposedly abound in love. They abound in the Holy Spirit, yet they have no knowledge. I talk to Christians every day downtown. San Luis has a lot of Christians. They go downtown, they don't hang around long, they don't want to be roped in with us. They don't like that. They don't want people to think that they're part of us. They come and they talk for a little while and they're dimwits. They don't know. They don't know anything. They have no earthly idea why they're saved, a lot of them. You try to ask them for a verse, one verse, to show why they're saved, to know why you're saved. They don't know the verse. They couldn't find John 3:16 if you had it open on the page. They don't know that is Jesus God or not. A lot of them don't. It's amazing. The ones that say, but they say they do. Oh yes, I'm saved. See, don't mistake me for what you can say and what you know. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between saying Jesus is God and knowing that Jesus is God. A good way to distinguish the difference is if you know it, you should be able to prove it. You should be able to at least have backing for it. Have something that backs it up. You say Jesus is God? Show me a verse that says Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witness will show you a mountain of verses trying to show you that Jesus is not God. They don't come to you going, I don't think Jesus is God. They come there and they say, look at here, look at over here. That's what convinces people. I've talked to them, they say, first thing you do is open up. Have you heard about the kingdom? And they read you a verse that actually says something about the kingdom. Unlike Christians who come and they try to give their testimony and they read a verse and it has nothing to do with what they're saying, but they say it anyways and they read the verse anyways. Whereas Christians, I see it's a sad state because they don't have no idea what they believe. I challenge the people wherever I speak on this is that they take a piece of paper, write down what you consider essentials of the faith. Write them down and then find about 3 or 4 verses for every one of them without using the concordance. Just what you know. It's easy to do word studies on things. Oh, saved. Yeah, that's S. Oh, there, look, a whole list of them. Try to prove what you know. It's not, I'm not asking you to bring it up here so I can put a golden star on your head. So you say, oh yeah. Brother, you ought to know. Sisters, young people, everyone, you ought to know. You ought to, and you may not know as much as somebody else, but you ought to know it's that grace that God has given you. It says in Peter, 2 Peter 1:3, it says, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. They love them more. Life, godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. You see, again and again, key word, knowledge. Through the knowledge. We speak what we know. You see, many verses. Let's read some more. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in knowledge. You know what I think? I think that if that blind man, that one we were talking about, only knew one thing his whole life, he did not grow in knowledge. I think if the only thing you know is that you're saved, you have not grown in knowledge. It does not take seminary to grow in knowledge. I just got to talking to a bunch of seminary students, and I wouldn't go there if they paid me money. I would not go. They know the Greek. That's the only difference that I've seen, that what they know and I don't know is Greek and Hebrew. And it hasn't helped them a bit. I would hate to have seen them before they knew Greek and Hebrew. They were in a vacuum. They wouldn't even had a little bit of understanding. Talk to them, and my dad brought out an interesting point that the people that they taught with the Greek and Hebrew, they sit there and they know all the Greek and the Hebrew, and they explain, well, we see that it says this, but in the Greek it says this, in Hebrew, and everyone's snoring away anyway. And all the people they've taught don't know anything. With all the Greek and Hebrew that they expound on, they still don't know. You know what it takes to know? It's a little bit of time in the Scriptures every day. An open heart. Some prayer. Amen. It's not difficult. Many people think that only elders. I was reading, they got another article in there saying how we're trying to break down the wall between the theologians and the lay people. The theologians don't know much more than the lay people. And the reason is they overlook the Bible.
That's right.
They go to all these other things. They know all, when we're talking to those seminary students Columbia Bible College and wanting to go into DTS and all they could quote for me is, well, such and such a man said this, and so and so said this, and so and so wrote this. Well, what about what God wrote? Do you know what God says? That's what you need to know. And that is written in a language you can understand.
Right.
In a format that you can find easily, that you can say, well, it comes in chapter 3, verse 5. It's not difficult to know, it really isn't. It just takes a little bit of time. And you know what? Christians say, well, I tried to understand. I read Revelation and I just did not understand. Well, start somewhere where you understand. Start building. See, you understand salvation. And you know salvation. So then you build on that and you start knowing something else that goes. And you start progressing upwards, growing in the knowledge by the grace of God. And it's very important for Christians to know. I want to read Colossians 3:10. In a minute, I want to close out with why it's so important for us to know. But there's another verse that really hit me when I was studying this out, and it's Colossians 3:10. And it put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The new man is renewed in knowledge. Don't say it's renewed in love. I think love is great. I think that church does not have enough love, does not have enough charity to overlook the faults of other people. But I know one thing the church really lacks, and that's knowledge. You want your new man to be renewed? You want to win the spiritual battle? It has to be renewed in knowledge. The new man, the what, its strength, the way it gets its fight is through the sword of the Spirit, through God's Word, knowing God's Word. When the devil comes, then know the Word. It's not, you think the devil's going to come walking up to your door and physically knock on it? So you can get out your Bible and you can read him the Scriptures? We don't read the devil the Scriptures. We have them in our mind, we keep them in our hearts, we meditate on them. And when he comes and attacks us spiritually, we defend ourselves with the word that we have guarded in our hearts so that we sin not. It's knowing. We need to renew that inner man. I don't know, we sit around and we talk about going to the world and winning the world. We're losing the world. The world is lost. The only chance we have is that Christians, individuals, get renewed. Go out and actually win souls. Tell them the truth. Don't tell. They have another thing. That magazine is incredible. They have another one thing called Seeker Sensitive Churches. In other words, what are you looking for? They said, we have small groups for the local church. Each one can use a spiritual gift. And then they have pitchers, mechanics, cooking. Guitars with not 12 strings, but two necks. I have no idea how they play a two-neck guitar, but it has two necks. And I don't know how you play it, but that's what they got. The spiritual gift, fixing a Chevy. Now that's spiritual. I wish I could be like that. I'm sure Jesus just wished there were Chevys around so you could fix them too. No, we see seeker-sensitive churches, not what we're looking for. We're looking for people that are God-sensitive. People that are looking to know God, looking to know the doctrine of God. And see, the few Christians that I've run into, they actually speak of knowing. They speak of knowing God. Like it's something so elevated and so spiritual that no one can really do it. No one can really know God. How are you going to know God? So it's very comfortable. They say, oh, let's know God. How about knowing God's Word? How about knowing God's doctrine? That's something we can do. We can know God through His Word. It's not something so elevated and hyper-spiritual that no one can do it. It's something that everyone can do. Your kids can know. Believe me. The women can know. We had some kind of convention, Catholic convention or something. We had a bunch of seminary students going down and they heard us preaching. So they wanted to debate. And then they were there for a long time, so they kept coming down every night to debate us. And they didn't like talking to us because we were eating their lunch. And so they went and started talking to the girls. And then the girls ate their lunch, so they quit. They didn't come back. They said, forget this. I'm going to go talk in my parish where no one can contradict me or something. I'm telling you, you can know. And there's a whole lot of other ones. I'm not going to read them all. I just want to tell you two more subjects. One is that a lot of people have zeal of God. It says they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I've seen a lot of Christians with a lot of zeal. I consider them good brothers, but they do not know anything. And I don't see how they can go out and teach people like the Great Commission says, go and teach the nations, if they don't know. What are you going to do it? What are you going to tell them? You're going to just give them supposition? You're just going to give them conjecture? It's about time Christians start telling the truth. Start telling people the facts. Instead of walking around saying, oh yes, everything, just all unite. If everybody unites, then we don't have to soul win because we're all on the same side. If all the Catholics and all the Mormons and all the JWs and all the Assemblies of God and all the Christians and San Luis all get together, there won't be anybody to win. And it says we shouldn't go out winning people from the Roman Catholics or from the Mormons. So the Catholics win people from the Christians because it would undermine our document. No, a lot of people have a lot of zeal, but they don't have knowledge. And without knowledge, you cannot teach. Without knowledge, you can't share to somebody the truth. You can tell them all your experiences. You can tell them how great experience it was when you got saved and baptized. But you can't tell them the truth if you do not know the truth. When people come to me and they start saying things like, well, I think this and this about the flood. I want to know. I want them to prove it to me. I want to show it to me in the Bible. And people get real mad with me. Because when they come up and tell me something, I don't say, oh, yes, I believe. I'm very stubborn, I think, in that, and I want to be. I don't want to be easily persuaded. That's what the Bible says. Amazing, huh? I want people to prove it to me through God's Word. I want to be sure it's truth before I believe it. Now, people say, well, that's all very pretty and that's all very nice. But it seems to me that you're just looking for contention. You're just looking to be contrary when you're starting to get into all that knowledge. You're looking to be arrogant. You're getting in a position to get proud. That is true. You are getting in a position where you can get very proud. It says knowledge puffeth up. So that is a danger. But you know something? If you eat too much, you could get overweight and die of a heart attack. Is that why you're going to quit eating? You're going to say because it's possible to get puffed up with knowledge that you won't seek knowledge? I don't think the Bible's saying that at all. I know it's not saying that at all. We should seek knowledge and we should ask for humility to deal with the knowledge we have. And yes, it is going to get you into contention. Let's look in Jude 3. We have people all the time saying, oh, the Bible's not to be debated. The Bible wasn't written for people to contend. It's a theory of let's not cause waves, let's all everyone live. You just go and tell them, if they're Jehovah's Witnesses, this is what you say. Jesus loves you, and He wants to save you. You don't tell them that Jesus is God, because they might not like it. If they're Mormons, well, you don't tell them that Jesus isn't the brother of Satan. They may not like that. And if they're Catholics, well, you don't tell them that Mary is not the mother of God. Whew, I know they won't like that. You just tell them what they like. And then God will use your half-hearted truth, maybe, to work in their hearts. Well, maybe He will. I've seen it happen. I've seen people with less truth than that get saved. But that doesn't excuse Christians for being sorry witnesses. That doesn't excuse Christians for not telling the whole truth. It says here in Jude, verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I see that that is another thing that lacks severely within Christians, is contending for the faith. People come to the doors and they knock on Christians' doors, Jehovah's Witnesses, they open the door, and they see the Jehovah's Witness. You can always tell who's a Jehovah's Witness. They got a tie and one arm's longer because they carry more books in it. And they knock on the door and they open and they see a Jehovah's Witness. They say, I don't want to fight with you. Go in peace. What a waste. Or if they do talk to them, it's a senseless conversation. Why waste their time? You say, but if I tell them the truth, if I tell them and I contradict them, we'll get nowhere, but they would have heard. Did not Jesus talk to people that never believed? That just contradicted them and went against them? Yes, he did. Oh, there's a time in which you talk to somebody and they don't listen, and you say, and you have to say, well, look, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, but to just discredit every Jehovah's Witness there is, because one, you haven't gotten anywhere with. Now tell me something. You haven't gotten anywhere with Jehovah's Witness by contradicting them. Have you gotten any saved by not contradicting them? I've never seen one. I haven't. I don't know. I'm not saying that this is or not. But I've contradicted them, and I've sat there and I've listened to them, and invited them back for Bible study to teach me. And they're still not saved. And the ones that did that don't know, have not heard, that I know of, to my certain knowledge, have not heard the truth. I think that's wrong. Now, I'm not saying that this is a law. That's my conscience. I cannot let people walk away from my front door who I know don't believe the truth and never tell them anything just because they might be offended. The gospel is offensive. We said that time and time again. The God says here that we should contend for the faith. The only way you're going to be able to contend for the faith is if you know the faith. You have to know the faith to contend for the faith. If not, you're going to be very, very shipwrecked. You're going to crash. You're going to crash and burn, they call it. So it's going to happen. And you say, oh, well, it's not who wins and who doesn't win. You're right. It's not about winning. It's about giving the truth and showing that the truth does not lose. Showing that the truth is the conqueror. The truth is the champion. It's not to exalt and put notches on our Bibles with a file. Another Jehovah Witness got it. It's about giving the truth out. Letting people know what we stand for. Here's another verse I would like to read in Titus 1:9. Now, I'm not saying that when people come to our front doors with another doctrine, man, pull out the Gatling gun and blow them away, man. They're terrible people, and we shoot them down, and get rid of them. I believe it should be done in love. I do believe that. But I also believe it should be done in truth and not lies. There is a way of saying it. There is a correct attitude for doing it. But none of that takes away from what you should say. You can say the same things. One person come in and say something and turn everybody against them. Because he says it wrong. Same person come back and say the same thing. The right way. And it has a little better effect. Probably turn everyone against him too if you're saying the truth. That'll have a little better effect. And it says in 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. To exhort and to convince. We won't convince them all. I guarantee you, you won't. But you can exhort them all. You're not going to persuade them all. But you can rebuke them all. You can tell them all of them that you can come in contact with, you can tell them the truth. They may not believe it. They may get riled up. They may not like it. But you can tell them, and they will have heard. And like I said, I've been thinking about this for a long time. And I see it's very important. I see it's something that Christianity nowadays, I have been like that, just care very little about knowing our doctrine. And when I started studying this, I started studying what I believe and why I believe it. I found there's a lot of things that I've heard in some preaching, that I've heard in some message that I believe in, there's no biblical basis for it. How about you? You sure that everything that you believe has biblical basis? Are you sure of that? Be careful, because you're teaching your kids. And you all know how it goes, the broken telephone. You say whisper something to someone else's ear, and they whisper it, and it goes around and around, and it comes out totally changed. A little bit of bad doctrine you teach your kids, they're going to teach it to their kids worse, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. The only way we can stop what the natural degradation, the natural process, is of each person, you teach your kids to study the Scripture to see if these things are the way they are. Not to take everybody's word for what they say, but to study the Scriptures. Not to be contrary, but to be right. To have the truth. It's important. We can't let the people that we disciple think that everything that's said up here or anywhere else is true.
A lot of times I hear preachers and they get to preaching and they say, let's suppose that the Good Samaritan was this and that. That's fine. But then you hear people saying the Good Samaritan was about 6'2", and you need to be careful. You need to doctrinate your kids and the people you're discipling to study the scriptures daily so they might know the truth.